Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you again. We thank you for the kids, Lord. What a great job they did. Lord, I pray you bless those kids. Lord, there's just something about watching kids worship you. Lord, thank you. And Lord, would you continue to work in their lives as they grow in the grace and knowledge of you. And so, Lord, this morning, we invite you to come this morning. I invite you, Lord, to speak through me. As you have things you want to say to us as a fellowship, as we are going to enter into this new coming year. And so, Lord, I ask you to bless this time in your word and that you would speak to every heart that is in this room, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so look, this is going to sound for some of you kind of a basic thing. I like to keep things real simple. On a normal Sunday, we just go verse by verse. So come January, we'll be back. We'll start in 2 Peter. And so prayer, what is prayer? Okay, I'm going to read something to you about prayer, a couple things, and then we're going to jump into Luke 11. So prayer, communication with God. Literally, it's talking to God, okay? God, because God is personal, all people can offer prayers. However, sinners who have not trusted Jesus Christ for their salvation remain alienated from God. So while unbelievers may pray, they do not have the basis for rewarding fellowship with God. They have not met the conditions laid down in the Bible for effectiveness in prayer. Christians recognize their dependence upon their Creator. They have every reason to express gratitude for God's blessing, but they have far more reason to respond than this. They respond to the love of God for them. God's love is revealed through the incarnation and life of Christ, his atoning provision at the cross, his resurrection, his continuing presence through the Holy Spirit. Prayer cannot be, listen, this is something important. Prayer cannot be replaced by devout works in a needy world. Important as service is to others, at times we must turn away from it to God, who is distinct from all things and over all things. Neither should prayer be thought of as a mystical experience in which people lose their identity in infinite reality. Effective prayer must be scripturally informed response, informed response of person saved by grace to the living God who can hear and answer on the basis of Christ's payment of the penalty that sinners deserve. Something else about prayer. I'm kind of hitting this kind of general idea of what prayer is because then we're going to get really specific. The most basic definition of prayer is talking to God. Prayer is not meditation or passive reflection. It is direct address to God. It is communication of the human soul with the Lord who created the soul. Prayer is a primary way for a believer in Jesus Christ to communicate his emotions or her emotions and desires with God and to fellowship with God. Prayer can be audible or silent, public, private, formal, informal. I need to read that again. See, look, I think one of the reasons why God put this on my heart to share was we have very misunderstanding or misconception of what prayer really is. We almost psych ourselves out, okay, in a sense. So prayer can be audible or silent, private or public, formal or informal. All prayer must be offered in faith in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. As the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia puts it, Christian prayer, in its full New Testament meaning, is prayer addressed to God the Father in the name of Jesus as mediator and through the enabling grace of the indwelling Spirit. The wicked have no desire to pray, but the children of God have a natural desire to pray. Prayer is described in the Bible as seeking God's favor, pouring out one's soul to the Lord, crying out to heaven, drawing near to God, and kneeling before the Father. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Do not be anxious about anything." We talked about that last week. "But in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Worry about nothing, pray about everything." It's a really good little phrase to remember. Everything, yes. God wants us to talk with him about everything. How often we pray? The biblical answer is pray without ceasing. We should keep a running conversation going with God all day long. See, that's something we also don't understand. Look, to pray without ceasing doesn't mean that I get on my knees 24 hours a day and pray. Pray without ceasing means, hey, I start my day with prayer as I'm at work, as I think of people, as I think of situations, I pray. It's praying all day, okay? Where was I? I lost my place. Okay, and prayer is not necessarily a special formula. Here's the thing, we should just do it. And we'll get more into that in a moment. We can pray under any and all circumstances. Prayer develops our relationship with God and demonstrates our trust and our dependence upon Him. Prayer is the Christian's way of communicating with God. We pray to praise God and thank Him and tell Him how much we love Him. We pray to enjoy His presence and to tell Him what's going on in our lives. We pray to make requests, to seek guidance, and ask for wisdom. God loves this exchange with His children, just as we love the exchange we have with our children. Fellowship with God is the heart of prayer. Too often we lose sight of how simple prayer really is supposed to be. Prayer is very simple. You know, prayer is the easiest thing, but yet it's the hardest thing. Now, there are different types of prayers, and you may have heard this before. There's basically three general types of prayer. And listen, I'm not going to be exhausted this morning, because quite frankly, I could stand here and teach about prayer for the rest of the day. Okay, the Bible is exhaustive about prayer, but there's three basic types. There's worship and thanksgiving. See, whenever we recognize His greatness or acknowledge His position and power, we are worshiping God. See, there's worshipful prayer. So, put your finger here in Luke 11. We're going to turn a couple different places. If you can't keep up, that's okay. But let's turn to Psalm 108, please. Psalm 108, left-hand turn, just to give you this idea. Psalm 108, we're going to hit verse 3, Psalm 108. This is a psalm of David, King David. Verse 3 says, I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Verse 5, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above the earth, that your beloved may be delivered and saved with your right hand, and hear me. Now, that's Old Testament. A New Testament prayer of praise or a prayer of worship or thanksgiving is in Romans chapter 11. Join me in Romans 11, the very end of the chapter. Romans 11, verse 33, the Apostle Paul writing the letter to the Romans. Romans 11. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of both wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of God, or who has become His counselor, or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to him? Verse 36, for Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to Him be the glory forever. Amen. So there's a worshipful prayer. You're worshiping God. You're thanking Him for what He has done. You know, when my wife and I pray in the morning together, one of the first things we start off with was thanking God. Thanking God for each other, thanking God for our kids, thanking God that we have a house, thank God that we have clothes on our back, food on our table, those kind of things. Being thankful for what God has done and is doing in your life. So there's one type of prayer there. Second type of prayer is called petition or supplication. Supplication, all it means is you're praying for your personal needs. You're praying for the needs that you have. Now listen, the needs, not the wants. The needs. God promises that if you cry out to Him, He will meet your needs. Now, a couple places I want to turn. Turn to Psalm 4, please. Psalm 4. Now, as we're turning to Psalm 4, here's something to keep in mind. If you want to learn how to pray, read the book of Psalms. Read the book of Psalms. When we went through the book of Psalms on a Wednesday night, let me tell you, that was really impressed upon my heart from the Lord as I studied through the scripture in Psalms. Psalms is such a great book because, let me tell you, Psalms talks about, some of the psalmists talk about their grief and their issues that they go through, their anxieties, et cetera, and their response to all that is to cry out to God. And so Psalm 4, verse 1 says this, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. And so there is a personal petition, a personal supplication, asking for need. And then we go to Psalm 6, verse 4. The psalmist, in this case David again, says, I am weary with groaning. All night I make my bed swim. In other words, he's sweating. I drench my couch with tears. Psalm 6, verse 4, bed passer. Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. See, personal need, crying out to God. There is petition, there's supplication, if you will. And then the last type of prayer, And the last type of prayer is often the hardest type to pray, is intercessory prayer. You know what intercessory prayer is? It's basically praying for somebody else. Let me read something to you. Through intercessory prayer, I reach out beyond myself. I'm no longer praying for my own needs, but for the needs of those around me. And see, that's one of the hardest things to do is prayer, right? To pray for others. But I heard somebody say this once, and I thought it was really brilliant. Intercessory prayer. You know what it's like? It's like praying for someone else if you were praying for yourself. How would you pray for yourself in a situation? If you're in trouble, if you have issues, you'd cry out, right? So take that same mentality and then pray for somebody else the same way. That's intercessory prayer. So there's three basic types of prayer. Kind of talked about what prayer is, talking to God. And so now we're going to get into the text this morning. So in Luke chapter 11, Jesus, it says this first. Let's read a couple, first couple verses. Luke 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, that he there is Jesus, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, when he says John here, he means John the Baptist. Now, interesting about this. They could have asked Jesus anything. They could have said, Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us to cast out demons. Lord, teach us to perform a miracle. You know what they asked him? Lord, teach us to pray. Why? Because they saw something in Jesus' life. See, Jesus was a prayer warrior. He would go off by himself before the day started. He'd pray to his Father in heaven. And see, I look at that and I go, if Jesus prayed, and I'm a Christian who follows Christ, then guess what? I should pray, right? But they ask him that. And so now he's going to give them a model prayer. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, this is a version of what is in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. It's the model prayer. We would often sometimes refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. Now, there's a lot of opinions about this. Look, some people feel, look, it really shouldn't be the Lord's Prayer because he talks about sin in here and Jesus had no sin. But it could be also why it's called the Lord's Prayer is because the Lord taught them to pray like this. Now, you may have been in a church in your lifetime where you recited this prayer together, right? But have you ever looked at this prayer and what he's really saying here? He's saying, Our Father in heaven. So he's referring to God as Father. We've all had fathers. Now listen, let me just say this. I know some of us may have had terrible earthly fathers. And sometimes that can skew our view of God, can it? But understand something. The Bible teaches about the fact that God the Father is loving, compassionate, merciful, wanting to meet the needs of his people, always there, faithful. That's who God the Father is. So if your earthly father was bad, then look to him as your heavenly father. But interesting, it says, Our Father in heaven, which implies what? Implies a relationship. Remember how I read in the beginning? See, unbelievers don't understand that. People who are believers do understand that. See, when you give your life to Christ, when you surrender your life to him and you are saved, when you're born again by the Spirit of God, you now have a relationship with God in heaven. He becomes your Father. You know, it's interesting because the word for God is Abba, okay? In the Greek, it's Abba. And, you know, that's why in Romans it talks about Abba Father. When you say Father, it speaks of a personal relationship. How many of you guys have ever heard that we need a personal relationship with God? That's what it's getting at too. It's also one of the reasons why people reject God so much. Listen, God can be up here in the heavens. He can be kind of up there. But as soon as I get in personal, no, I don't want any parts of that. Because then it gets involved in our personal life. And see, if we believe that God is Father in heaven, if he's creator, he knows everything. He created all of us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. He knows when we do bad things, when we do good things. He sees it all. You can't hide from God. The Bible talks about that often. Then he says, hallowed be your name. Hallowed is the idea of setting his name apart, not making just a common name. It's Father. When you pray, there is a respect for who he is. You're hallowed the name of God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Wow. It means whatever you want, Lord. Let it happen. Whatever you want. You know, I've talked about this numerous times from this pulpit in the last few months. The best place to be is to put your life in God's hands. How many of us have done that? When there are situations that we don't understand, we don't know what to do, Lord, not my will, but your will. You know, Jesus did that in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? He literally said that, not my will, but your will, Father. Again, Jesus not only is our Savior and our Lord, but he's also our example. He goes on. So listen, when he says here, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, where does everything start? It starts in heaven, because that's where God is. See, God's will, in a sense, comes down to earth. And so when we pray and seek him, we ask for his will to be done that is started in heaven and comes to earth. And in particular, when we're praying for ourselves, our life. Does that make sense? He goes on, give us day by day our daily bread. In other words, God, meet my needs. Meet my needs. Doesn't say wants, meet my needs. What do we all need? Well, we need food. We need water, right? Other needs. That's what he's getting at. When's the last time you just simply asked God, God, I need this? Can I tell you, this past year has been an incredible year. You know, I've been a Christian since 1998. So you do the math. It's a long time ago. And what's funny is, all these years later, I'm finally starting to understand prayer. I simply ask God for a specific need, and God has been meeting it. He's been meeting it. My wife and I can testify. This whole year started off with, in our kitchen, we have a chalkboard. We wrote all of these things that we, all these prayer requests we had. And it wasn't just needs. It was for praying for other people and other things. And can I tell you, one by one, God has taken those, boom, boom, boom. It's been incredible. But it's been a simple act of, okay, I believe, God, that you exist. I believe that you're Father in heaven. I believe you have what's best for us. Okay, Lord, your will be done in this situation. For those of you who've been coming since we started in the center, you know that my idol was a Toyota Tacoma truck, right? Okay. Well, I got a Ford Maverick, just as good. Praise God. God gave me what I needed. Now, I didn't specifically pray for a truck, per se. But I did pray, Lord, you know that our cars are getting old. You know we need like a car coming up. Lord, you just do what you need to do. And sure enough, he worked it out. Praying for this building. My goodness, God did it. God did it. Amazing. He goes on, verse 4, and forgive us our sins. See, look, even if you're a Christian today, even if you ask God to forgive you of your sins, guess what? Because we live in this fleshly body, we still sin. So guess what you need to do every day? Ask God to forgive you of your sins. In 1 John, it says, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we still need to ask for forgiveness. And then he kind of turns it. It's interesting. He says, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And wow, that's a powerful verse. Why? If God forgave us, we're supposed to forgive others. Oh, you know what? No. That's not in the Bible. Well, yes, it is. It's right here. It's not in my Bible. Well, okay, I'm not using your Bible. I'm not saying forgiveness is easy. It's hard. But see, here's the thing. The more you pray, the more you seek God in prayer, the more you begin to pray and ask for forgiveness of your sins, it begins to kind of work in your heart and you begin to forgive others. One of the things that I do when I have a problem with somebody is I pray for that person. And boy, has that made a difference in my life. And then he says, do not lead us into temptation. So you can actually ask God to not lead you in temptation? Yes, you can. Look, some of us struggle with temptations in our life. You can ask God, deliver me from this. Because he goes on, he says, but deliver us from the evil one. See, look, you have an enemy. His name is Satan. He wants to destroy you. You also have an enemy of yourself, your flesh. And so you can ask God to deliver you. Do you ask God to deliver you? Like, this stuff I know is really basic stuff, isn't it? Then why don't we do it? Because we don't. We don't do it. We don't. You ever ask, why don't you pray? You don't pray because why? You're too busy. Hey man, look, I got a job to work. I got to meet the bills, all that stuff. I get it. But can I tell you what I've learned? When I have a whole bunch of stuff to do, the first thing I do is I pray. And then it's amazing how the day just goes then. How it changes everything. Because things I think that are so important that need to get done, they can be put in the back burner. There's more important things. So you're too busy. Okay. How about this? You're too distracted. See, we have plenty of time to what? Scroll on these things, don't we? We have plenty of time to look at these things, don't we? We have plenty of time to go home and watch TV, don't we? Because listen, I deserve it. I deserve a break. I work hard. I'm tired. So let me sit in front of the TV and just become a zombie. It's a distraction. Now, am I against recreation? No. Am I against hobbies? No. There's a time and place. But understand something. You know, I have had so many people say to me they're struggling, and I ask them, do they pray? And they say, guess what? No. No. Then they'll come back to me a couple weeks later. How's it going? I'm still struggling. Do you pray? No. Okay. Look, prayer is talking to God. See, God already knows the needs and the things that need to happen in your life. He already knows. So you praying to God basically is you're already acknowledging that he is real and that he can help you. And you know what's funny is when you pray as an individual, it also changes you as a person. You ever notice that? Now, he goes on, he says this, and this is interesting. He uses this example, verse 5 of Luke 11. He says, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And so the situation is this. In this culture, hospitality was everything. And so this would not be something to be unheard of. So there is a gentleman who has a friend who comes in from a long journey, but he doesn't have anything to give him to eat. And see, if you didn't give anybody something to eat when they came in from a long journey, that was a bad thing. That was looked upon as not a good thing because hospitality is important. And so this neighbor, or this friend, or I should say, goes to his neighbor and or his other friend and says, listen, hey, can I have 3 loaves, please? I got this guy here. Can I have 3 loaves? In verse 7, and he'll answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Now, understand something. In those days, most, if you were a poor person, you lived in a house, you had like a two-room or one-room house. And so when he says he's in bed with him, in other words, everyone's in bed, everyone's settled now. Go away. You're troubling me. You're bothering me. Verse 8, I say to you, though, he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend. Yet because of, listen to what it, look what it says here. His persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. His persistence. I want you to think about that. Persistence, that word persistence, what that means. You all know what persistence means. It's like now during Christmas time, your child says, Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, I want this. Daddy, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? Whatever. You know what persistence is, right? If you have kids, persistence. Now, he goes on and he says this. He says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find and knock and it will be open to you. Here's our problem. We pray once and then we're done. We pray once and we don't see results, so we're done. Okay, it's over. It's done. It's over. It's done. Forget it. Is that how it works? Jesus is saying persistence. You keep asking, you keep knocking, you keep seeking, you keep praying, you don't give up. That's the point. You keep praying. Hey, I have this relative who isn't saved. He hasn't been saved for 40 some years, so I should just give up, right? Is that what Jesus is saying? No. Listen, I felt called in the ministry in 1999. What year is it? 2024. 25 years later, should I have quit? Oh, I wanted to. Oh, and I did for a little while. I kept seeking. I kept praying, and God brought me to this place. He goes on, verse 10, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. And then he says something interesting. If I can turn the page, it's caught. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? In other words, and he goes on, he says, or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? See, look, if you ask your father for something to eat, is he going to give you something that's not something to eat? Of course he's not. And he goes on, he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. See, here's what he's trying to say is, if your earthly father knows how to take care of you, guess what your heavenly Father wants to do? Wants to take care of you. In this context, he says the Holy Spirit. See, you know, Lord, I'm struggling with this sin. Okay, Lord, give me the power of the Spirit to overcome this. Do you ask him that? Do you ask him? See, he wants you to ask him. Why? Because he's your Father and he loves you. See, prayer is talking to God, but see, prayer is even more than that. Prayer is fellowship with God. It's fellowship. It's a dialogue. You talk, then you stop and you listen. And see, that's another problem we have too, is we can't sit still. We can't listen, can we? You don't understand. I have too much to do. So my prayer time is 5 minutes in the morning. I'm out the door. Now, I'm not telling you have to spend 5 hours in prayer. I'm not saying that. If you want to, go for it. But here's my point. What is your priority? See, if we're a Christian, we should want to pray. Shouldn't we? Or am I crazy? Like, most of us here have a job. Can you do your job without prayer, honestly, if you're being honest? No, you can't. Because you ask for what? You ask for his strength. You ask for his wisdom. We've been going through Proverbs on Wednesday night. It's all about wisdom. Solomon wrote it, okay? It's all about wisdom. You ask God for wisdom. The Bible specifically says if you need wisdom, you ask him. If you ask him, he'll give it to you without measure. It says that. So why don't you ask? You know, I think about my own sons, and I think about, you know, how I would feel if I knew they had a need and I could meet it and they wouldn't ask me. That would break my heart. All the more with our Heavenly Father. Now, another place I want us to turn this morning. Turn to Luke 18. Luke 18. More idea about persistence here. So Luke 18, verse 1. Then he spoke, this is Jesus, a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. See, you always ought to pray and not lose heart. Be persistent. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. In other words, this woman is being so annoying because she keeps coming to me. I'm going to answer her and I'm going to take care of what she needs. Persistence, exactly. Verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, I want to keep going here because I want to point out something to you. Now, verse 9, and he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and another a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, that's prayer right there. That's a real prayer. That's an honest prayer. God hears that prayer. See, you contrast that with the guy who's the Pharisee who says, I'm not like that person. I'm not like that person. I'm religious. I give tithe. I give money every week to the church. I show up every Sunday. Oh, that's false worship. That's not prayer. The tax collector was honest, said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, you mean you can pray that simply? Yes. Yes, you can. Prayer is that simple. Remember, we've talked about this before. Matthew 14, Jesus tells Peter to walk on the water. And then when Peter takes his eyes off Jesus, begins to sink, he says, Lord, save me. What happens? Jesus saves him. But Lord, save me is a prayer. That's prayer. Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, I don't know what to do. Show me. That's prayer. It doesn't have to be this long, flowery thing. Look, we have prayer meetings, right? There's a reason we have prayer meetings. When we have prayer meetings, we pray. We pray for the people at church. We pray for each other. We pray for other things. But here's my point in saying all that is, you can show up at the meeting and not say a word. There's no expectation you have to pray. Usually how it works, I'll give you inside baseball. I just start off. And then whoever wants to pray jumps in and prays. And then I end it with just a prayer of some kind. We get so caught up in ourselves, don't we? Because what? We went to church for years and they told us, this is the way you pray. You have to do this. You have to do that. Do this. Look, prayer is simple. It's talking to God. It's a dialogue with the Lord every day. Can I stand here and tell you that God has specifically said, Chris, you need to do this? No, he's never said it, but I would tell you he's spoken to me. He's put the impression on my heart of what I'm to do. It's like this. It works like this. You have to make a decision. It's an important decision. You either go this direction or that direction. Maybe it's a job, whatever it is. And you seek God in prayer. You say, God, I need you to give me the answer. I don't know what to do. And you know what happens is you feel a sense of peace when you realize, yeah, I'm going to take path two. There's a sense of peace. But if I'm going to take path one, I have no peace. See, God is speaking to you through prayer right there. That's how it works. Now, sometimes, hey, he may audibly speak to you. He may give you a verse. He's given me a verse. He gave me a verse years ago to start to be involved with ministry. He gave me a verse to even start this Bible study, the Bible study we started that turned into this church. He gave me the verse in Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Talks about the fact that Jesus saw the multitude, and because he had compassion, he was moved with compassion, he began to teach them many things. That verse spoke to my heart that we should start this Bible study that turned into this church. When I was praying, what should I do, Lord? What should we do? Is that really complicated? Why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? Why does Jesus tell his disciples, you have to be as a child to enter the kingdom of heaven? Because children are trusting. Children aren't wrapped up in all the nonsense that we get wrapped up as adults, aren't they? Just simple childlike faith. I believe God is real. I believe what he says. So now I'm going to come to you, Father. Father, I need help. And he'll help you. Now, does that mean that instantly when you pray, it instantly happens, it's fixed? No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. There have been things I've been praying for years that still haven't happened, but I believe God and I'm trusting God he's going to do it. It's persistence. Why is it then when something happens to us traumatic, what do? I'll put it to you like this. You have a diagnosis, you have some kind of illness or sickness, and you have, let's say, cancer. We'll just use cancer because that's a really prevalent thing these days. I just found out I have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I didn't, by the way. I'm not saying I do. I'm just using this as an example. What do? Well, go see a doctor. Not that you shouldn't see a doctor. Okay, just let me preface that. But why don't you go to God first and ask for prayer? Guys, I've prayed for people in this church who have been healed. I have. Prayer works. Why is it always the last resort? Well, you know, we have nothing else to do, so then maybe we should pray now. No, prayer should be our first thing. If I believe that God is real, I believe he's my heavenly Father, I believe he has what's best for me, if I believe those things, that should be the first place I go. I'm struggling, so what do? Well, I'm struggling with this thing. Well, I'll call my friends, my posse. Is that always a good idea? Why don't you go to God? How about being a parent? I look back when my wife and I, when the kids were smaller, you know, there were certain things that happened to us that were out of our control. And so what did we do? We didn't pray. What we did is we reacted to it. And our boys got to watch that. Our boys got to watch it. How do you handle a situation? Well, I'm going to fly off the handle and freak out and get upset. But I'm a Christian, though. I'm a Christian. Maybe you can relate. See, here's what I've learned as I've gotten older. When trouble comes, you cry out. When trouble comes, you get on your knees. We were just talking about this morning. We put an offering in on this building. My wife and I, we prayed, man. We prayed really hard. And in fact, my wife told me that one night I was sleeping and she prayed over me and she was praying so much she was crying, okay? I literally just said to her this morning, you know what's funny? Now that we have this building, that happened, God answered our prayers, why don't we pray like that about other things? Why don't we pray about like that with other things? See, prayer is the easiest thing, but it's the hardest thing. And if we're honest, one of the reasons we don't pray is because of our pride. See, either you believe what God says in his word about who he is and his character, or you don't. I'm not telling you it's easy, because it's not. Because let me tell you something. There may be times in your life, a couple years ago in 2022, it was a really hard year for my wife and I. Really hard. For various reasons. You don't need to know what for, but it was hard. Thank God we had each other, but I'll tell you what, I look back now, one thing I wish I would have did more of was pray. No, instead I reacted to certain things. Didn't help the situation. Made it worse, in fact. But by the grace of God, he worked it out. See, God is so full of grace, and he loves us so much, and he's merciful and compassionate. Thank God for that. Thank you, God, that you're like that. But here's my point. We know what we need to do. God is available 24/7. He's like FedEx. He always delivers. Here's the thing. God is never late. He's never early. He's right on time. It's kind of a funny thing, right? See, that's why I tell you guys from this pulpit, read your Bible and pray every single day. Because here's the thing. When you begin to pray and you make it a habit to do it, guess what happens is your relationship with God grows deeper and closer than it's ever been before. You understand that? I want that for all of you. But as I've said before, I can't do it for you. I can instruct you. I can tell you. I can give you advice to do that. I can help you. I can teach from the pulpit to help you with it. But I can't do it. You have to do it. See, if you're struggling, what should you do? You should pray. That's what you should do. If your marriage is on the rocks, what should you do? Pray. Pray. Get on your knees and pray. How important is it? It's funny, you know, we will not seek God unless we're brought to the point where we have no other choice. Why isn't that the first choice? As I said earlier. Could think about this. You have no idea what God has for you. You have no idea what he wants to do in your life. So through prayer, take your life and put it in his hands. When you're in trouble, you cry out to him. When you need guidance, you ask him. He'll make it clear. It may not be right away. It may take some time because he's working. See, he's always working. See, a pastor told me this years ago. God is always working. Even though I can't physically see him with my eyes, he's always working. Always. He's always working. And I can tell you that when that pastor told me that was like 20-some years ago, and he is right. He is right. God's always working. He's working right now. You don't see him, but he's working right now. Now, as I was thinking about this, you know, what to say about prayer, trying to convince you guys how simple it is and that we should do it. Those of you who have been in the church for a while, have you ever heard the term revival? Okay. Do you know that every revival that's ever happened on this earth always started with what? Guess what? Prayer. Now, I want to show a video right now of something that you probably aren't aware of. And Josh, you want to show that, and then I'll come back up and give some comments to it.
The United States, 1857. Slavery, rebellion, rumors of war. In 3 years, Americans would turn on each other and make history. But in 1857 New York City, history, the kind textbooks don't mention, was already happening. The date was September 23rd. A Christian layman named Jeremiah Lamphere held his first ever businessman's prayer meeting in Lower Manhattan. It was not, by all accounts, a rousing success. He'd passed out flyers for weeks. 6 men attended. 2 weeks later, the stock market crashed. thousands of families lost all they had, and one of the greatest spiritual awakenings the world has ever seen began. Week by week, Jeremiah Lamphere's tiny lunch hour prayer meeting grew larger and larger. By December, his six men had become 10,000 men, and they met not every week, but every day. The New York newspapers took notice, and when word spread to other cities, spontaneous revival broke out across the country. In Cleveland and St. Louis, thousands of people packed downtown churches and theaters three times each day just to pray. In Chicago, churches had to have waiting lists for people wanting to teach Sunday school. And all across America, pastors were baptizing 20,000 new believers every week. The revival eventually spread around the world. In England, entire towns were converted. Some towns disbanded their police force because of a lack of crime. And so many people came to Christ, churches had to hold services outside just to accommodate the crowds. The world had seen nothing like it, before or since. Global revival. God started it with one man. It changed the course of history. And now, in today's world, people need to know, can history repeat itself? Can it happen again?
When I watch that video, I get emotional for various reasons. Because I think to myself, this all started with one man. What would your family look like if you would just pray? I can tell you from my own personal experience, when things are hard and there's trouble, I get on my knees and I cry out, God, I need you, help me. And he always listens and he always answers. Like, you may, your prayer life may not lead to something like this, and that's not what I'm trying to say, but you understand what I'm trying to say. You just need to do it. Stop making excuses. We're entering into a new year. Keep praying. Look, I don't know about you. I've seen God move in ways in the last, like as much as our culture and things have gone crazy, I've seen God move in ways because why? Because his people are praying. It's never too late to pray. Never. I don't care what your life looks like. Okay, let's start here. If you don't know Christ this morning, then you need to surrender to him. You need to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner and that Christ died for you on the cross for your sins. You ask Jesus, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life from this day forward. Give me the Spirit, the power of the Spirit to help me live for you. If you do that, if you say that little prayer, then you're saved. If you're saved, you got saved today, come see me after the service. I'm going to give you a Bible. Let's start there. Secondly, if you are a believer, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Oh, you don't understand. You're right, I don't understand, but I know who does. I know who does. See, here's the thing. You really don't understand, and I don't either, how much God really loves us. He loves you. He loves you, and he wants to hear from you. Here's the thing. You cry out to him. You not only does he answer your prayer, but you grow closer to him. See, you're practicing for when you're going to be in his presence. Now, let's pray. Father God, I come before you this morning. I lift up this fellowship to you this morning. And as I said, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you, I pray that they would acknowledge that they're a sinner, that Christ died for them, and that they would ask for you, Jesus, to forgive them of their sin and be the Lord of their life from this day forward. I pray, Lord, if they pray that prayer, they would come see me or somebody in this fellowship, tell them what they've done. For the rest of us who know you, Lord, you know our situations, you know our lives, you know our, quite frankly, our excuses. Enough's enough. Oh, Lord, I desire for you to work in the lives of your people. There are people who are struggling here this morning. There are people who are broken. Lord, you know. We may not see it because they put on this facade, but you know, Lord. So I pray today would be the day where they cry out to you and ask for help. God, help me. God, help me. There are people here this morning, Lord, who are struggling financially. Lord God, I pray they cry out and ask for you to bless them, to meet their needs. Lord, there are marriages here this morning that need you, Lord. I pray that they be honest enough, both spouses, and cry out to you. Lord, we want to see you move in the lives of your people. But Lord, we're the ones who stop it. Help us not to be too prideful, that we would cry out to you, Lord. Lord, you're here to hear us. You love us and you care about us. May you move in the midst of our fellowship. May you move in the lives of your people. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We believe that you are the creator. We believe that you're the almighty. We believe that you can do anything, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that this message this morning will remind us, would be a reminder. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, that's why during the announcements, Josh talked about there's ways to contact the church if you have prayer requests. You can see me after the service. You can email the church. We can't pray for you if we don't know. My challenge to you this morning, I think it's God's challenge, is what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? God wants to hear from you. He wants to move in your life. Amen?